Let's see again the Gemara on Yutes on the base. The Gemara quotes, what is this? Mishnah. Yeah, it's a Mishnah. Kupa, about 10 lines from the bottom. Kupa, again, I have a mace in one room and there's a chalon leading to the other room. And we want to know whether the tumah goes through the chalon. So I have a kupa or a chavis, which has either tevin or gregris. So the kupa and the chavis is not chaytzitz b'fnei atuma. So the Gemara said because it's a dov hamakabel tuma and a chaytzitz b'fnei atuma. That's what Rashi writes, I think. Where's the Rashi? That's what the Gemara is going to say. So the chavis and the kupa itself is a dava hamakabel tuma and a chotzis. But what about the tevin inside? So the tevin is hay that the horses eat. So maichal be'ema is not mekabel tuma. So that can theoretically serve as a dova chotzitz b'fnei atuma. What about grogus? Grogus is ed of roi lachila sodom. So that's the Gemara's kasha. So the Gemara, no. Grogus hachazile in the bottom. The Gemara answers, Amashmuk, Shesi. The Gemara asks, hachazile, he's going to take it away, but the Kurdish just says, well, he asks the kasha, it's a dova hamakabel tuma. So the Gemara says that it's spoiled. Bisha hisrifu. The grogus are wormy, so it's not royal achilas sodom. And I said it's not royal achilas behema either. Okay. So the tevin in the grogus theoretically could be choitzes b'fnei atuma. So, but the Mishnah says that it depends. What roim? Roim means it depends. Kol shi'ilu, inotlu, if you'll take away the kupa and the chavis and the grogus, and the tevin will still be in a pile. It won't fall down. Let's say you have water in a container. So if you take away the container, the water's going to fall away. So the grogris and the tevin, if the nature of this stuff is such, is just going to fall apart, then it's not oimid b'fnei atzmai, so then it's not choytzes b'fnei atuma. So that's what Tosfos discusses. What is the idea behind that then? Roim, why does it depend? The Tosfos Yom HaMascha Roim, we didn't do that yesterday. Rom koshi li inotlu. Ein lefareish the tam ishum the sofa little chavis vekupa lahachi binan sheyuhu grogus vitzi the teven echolam la'amayd bifnei atzmam tim kein lemai the perch tenan akachazil. What's their problem? Lamai did porach tina teven hakachazi le rotz alachich mikan afilu sofo litlo chotzes. They want to prove against Shmuel. So there's a tikshalei amartzah shechalam lamai bifnei atzman. What's the reason for this din? That it has to be yochalamai bifnei atzman. Why? That's the halach. It has to be yochalamai. So Eloi Mary, the kachu adin the kol dova hachotzes beina shehi yochalama bifnei atzmai. Since the kupa and the chovis is not going to be chotzes because it's dova hamakabel tuma, so the thing that's chotzes is the tevin and the grogris. So if it's not yochalama bifnei atzmai, it's no good. Period. That's the first sheet. Eloi Mary. Then Tosis says they're not so convinced that that's correct. What do they continue to say? Again, doesn't have a din of a mechitza if it can't stand on its own. Iktoni li'el mehach mishnah. The previous mishnah says, Masach ha'sohala, so okay, kovri ha'mesha hoyu, ovrim bi'ach sedra, bo'echa mehem, bi'higif esadelis, v'samcham. The tumen can go from one room to the other, so they have a door blocking the exit, so the tumen shouldn't go through. He gave us adalas, but they had a pole of wood to support the door to keep it closed. Michoel adalas lamed bifne atzma tohor. Then it's chaytzeitz, and the tumah doesn't go through him. Lav tamei. Then it says, "Bechein chavishal gregus v'kupa shel teven." This is the mishnah after that one. Shein said, "Machalom mashman da hakol chad taima." Has to be able to stand on its own. V'ainu taima. The stimas are roy having. It's gonna fall by itself. It's gonna fall by itself. So that's not good. That's not the mechitza. Stimas are roy having. Like Shmuel said, a chiddush. Even though the stuff that you put there, the rokik, is not gonna fall away by itself, but you're gonna take it away. So that's also called a roy. But the mishnah had that if you have snow or ice, it's going to melt after a short period of time. So it's going to fall away by itself. Not in 2 minutes, in a couple of days. So that's a stima saroi, it's not called a stima. But then Tosis says, the first explanation, the stima saroi, nechalamet bifnei atzma, inami, and the other pshat mishun the bina dova hachoytzeitz oimer al yidei dova she'ena mekabel tuma. Maybe it's only no good because the kupa and the chavis are dova hamekabel tuma. That's what Rashi said. If it would have been a dova she'ena mekabel tuma that's supporting the groigris and the tevin, maybe it would have been good. So then Tosis concludes, miu b'pirish hamishnayis. The Balei HaTosis had a Pirush HaMishnah from an earlier generation. Motzari, the Ri found in a Ksav from earlier Balei HaTosis that this is a Machlokes HaTanoim. Exactly this Nekuda, the two Pshotim. In which case do you say that it's Eini Cholamad Bifnei Atzma, that the Tevin and the Groigris are not Chotzes Bifnei Atuma? Is it only if it's being supported with a Chovis or a Kupa that's a Dom HaMakabal Tuma? So that's why it's no good? Or even if it's being supported by Dov Shein and Mekabel Tum, it's also not good because it's called the Stima Arois. So Tosis concludes, they finally come to the conclusion that the two pshatim that the Ri suggested, Inami is the second pshat. Nira the Ri is the first pshat. Then Inami the Ri gives the second pshat. Then after giving two pshatim, he found that in Pirush HaMishnah, he said, the two pshatim that he gave is a Machlokes HaTanoim. Okay. So Dovah HaMakabal Tumah in a Chotzitz B'Fnei HaTumah, we always thought that the Pshat is, here the Gemara said, it depends whether Puma L'Gava, Puma L'Bar, if you have a Kli Cheres, it's only Makabal Tumah Mitocha, not Migabo, so it depends which direction is it open. So if the Mace is in this room and the Kli Cheres is open to this room, so the Tumah goes in, so then it's not Chotzitz B'Fnei HaTumah, because the Tumah penetrates it, and then it penetrates, so the tumor goes through. But if it's the back of the kli is here, and the klicher is not mekabel tumor from the outside, so since the tumor doesn't penetrate the kli, then it's chotzeitz b'fnei tumor. Yeah, that's because the dova ha-chotzeitz was mekabel tumor. The tumor penetrated it. But here, we're coming up, according to one opinion in Tanoim, not only if the dova ha HaMekabel Tuma is the Dova HaChotzeis, if the thing that's supporting it is the Dova HaMekabel Tuma. So what does it bother me if the thing that supports it is a Dova? So if you say it's a Din, the Dova HaChotzeis has to be Kavua. If it's Aroi, it's going to fall by itself, it's no good. Okay, so that I understand it's Aroi. But according to the second shot that they said, no, the only time it's no good if it's being supported by a Dova HaMekabel Tuma. But right now, what do I care if the thing that's supporting is Dova HaMakabal Tuma? But the thing that's being chaytze is the tumor doesn't penetrate that. That's a chiddush. That's a chiddush that you're restricting this din. If it's not Yochel Lama Bifnei Atzma Royim, Why is not? Because the dov hamakabel tumah is supporting it. That's no good. But the tumah is not penetrating the thing that the dov achoitzitz. What is it? Don't you see from our Gemara that it depends on the dov achoitzitz? I don't know why there should be. I don't know. Tosfos quotes it's a machlokes hatanoim. That is a chiddush. Okay. Let's see, the next daf we did, the top taisus. The top taisus made a distinction between Shmuel's din, Roke Kenan Ma'id, Bachalon only applies if you're Ma'id in the Chalon. But if it's Taisim Legamrei, then even though it's only the Aroi, it's not a problem. Because there's no room for the Tumah to go through. That's called in Shulchan Aruch, Yeridei. I remember many years ago the high school, MTA, had their annual fundraising dinner in the Museum of Natural History in Manhattan, and they were honoring some person who was a kohen. And the Museum of Natural History has its mummies upstairs. I think they had one mummy upstairs. And probably the mummy is an Ochri. It's from Kodem Matan Torah. But in Shulchan Aruch it says you should be machmer for Meisei Akum, not the Kohanim shouldn't go, even though we assume Meisei Akum and Amitami Boil, the Kohanim shouldn't go in the Goyish Cemetery. So we said that the commentaries on Yeridei have Mechaber writes like that, Kohanim should be careful not to go in the Goyish Cemetery. So the Meforshim, they give three different explanations. Why? If it's Meisei Akum and Amitami Boil, so what's the problem? So one suggestion is because not all the Rishonim agree with the Rambam. It's a machlokes hatanaim and Yevamos, I think on Rav Samach, Shimon bar Yochai and the Chachamim. So Tosfos and Bava Metzia, at the end of Bava Metzia, seems to hold like the Chachamim. They may say Akamam and Tami boil. So lechatchil you should be choshish for the other shitas of Rishonim. Another suggestion was given in Shulchan Aruch. The reason why is because you have a lot of mishumadim buried in a goyish cemetery. So he's Jewish. Even though he's buried in a Goyish cemetery, even if he converted to a different religion, but he still is Jewish, he's Metami Ba'oyel. And then a third explanation that they give is that maybe that's what we spoke about the Rekech a little bit. Shachan Yeredeh quotes the Rekech and the Magen Avraham in Hilchos Shabbos. There's a simon in Hilchos Shabbos about Chinuch Habonim. So the Magen Avraham in that simon talks about this, Shach B'Shem the Rekech, that Eishes Koyin. A male kohanim are not allowed to be metame lemes. A female kohenis or an eshes kohen is permitted to eat truma, but she's not muzer not to be metame lemes. Kohenis dabel bnei Yisrael, dabel bnei Aharon matalem bnei Aharon v'lo bnei Osaharon. So a kohenis or an eshes kohen is allowed to be metame lemes. The question is, what if the eshes kohen is meuberis? So the Gemara says there's a 50-50 chance. She may have a boy, she may have a girl. So if she's going to have a boy, and she's going into the oil, I mean, she's going to a funeral, so won't there be an issue of being metame the baby? So the Rakeach is the end of the time of the Baliatosis, the end of the Tkufas Baliatosis. Rakeach reads like a Kitzu Shulchan Aruch. Rakeach has a lot of Kabbalah, that's others sworn by the Rakeach, but he has a dinim. So the Rekech says, Eishes Kohen Meuberis is permitted to go to attend a funeral because it's a Svek Sveka. Why is it a Svek Sveka? 50-50 chance whether it's a male or a female Uber. So if it's a female, there's no problem. Even if it's a male, maybe it's only considered a Kohen Zohar if she's pregnant now and the pregnancy will lead to a birth. If ultimately, let's say she's 4 months pregnant, 6 months pregnant. So if later on, this baby will be born. Then the Rekech holds that it's an Issa now to be metame the cotton, the Uber. But if later on, there's a Niud Noshem Apilos, there's a percentage of women who have a miscarriage and the baby will not be born alive. So, Smoch Miuta, the Miut Mapilos, Lemachza Machza, then it becomes Roy. He starts off, he says that if it's a Svek Sveka, but it's not a Svek Sveka, it's a Roy. And the Gemara has this rav, that it's palga machza schar machza nekevis. She doesn't know she's pregnant with one baby. She doesn't know whether it's a male or a female. So if it's a female, there's no shaila. And even if it's a male, if it turns out that the uber is going to die before it's born, then it's a gloy Muslim afriya. There never was an isa shalal letam lemes. That's what the Shach quotes in the name of the Rekeh. Eshes Kaimel Beres is permitted to go to a funeral. Many pregnant women have a practice. They think that there's a minig that pregnant women don't go to a funeral. No pregnant women go to a funeral. So there's the Achrayim in the back of the Shulchan Aruch. They point out that that's a minig betoris. They must have overheard the Rabbanim discussing why Eshes Kain Mul Beres is permitted to go to the funeral. And they heard a whole discussion. So they misheard and they thought that a pregnant woman is not allowed to go to a funeral. Even if she's pregnant, even if she's married to a Kohen, she's pregnant with a child who's going to be a Kohen, it's also mutter because it is Svek Sveke. Some of the recent poskim say that if they took a sonogram and they know that it's going to be a boy, then you no longer have the Svek Sveke, you no longer have the Rav. So then she's not allowed to go to the funeral. She knows that it's a boy, just the Suffolk Miut Mapilis, then she shouldn't go. So the Magen Avraham is bothered with Magen Avraham in Hilchos Shabbos by Chinuch Ketanim. Chinuch begins after the child is born, but there's Chinuch when it's an embryo. When it's a fetus, what shai Chinuch then? So the Magen Avraham talks about this in the Siman in Hilchos Shabbos, Shin Mem Gimel or something, about Chinuch Ketanim. So the Magen Avraham is bothered with Akasha. I think we spoke about it this year, that the Uber is called Balua. So Balua is Kimisha Eina. Balua is not Mekabel Tuma. Let's say there are two kinds of Balua. Let's say a person swallowed a ring and the ring is in the stomach. And then if you wait a couple of days, it's going to come out the other end. And the person will move his bowel so the ring will come out. So if he went to a funeral, he becomes Tuma. But the ring is Balua in the stomach, the ring does not become Tuma. Or let's say a person swallowed a ring that's Tuma. And there are been in time things that it's metame ba'ohel. So if the person has a ring that's tame tumas meis, a cherev harek chol abiyavoy satume in the stomach, and then they come into a room, it's not metame anybody else because whatever is balua is kemisha eno. It's not mekabel tume and it's not metame acherev. So that's one kind of balua. Then there's another kind of balua if there's an uber that's absorbed. A fetus is inside the Beis HaRechem. That's also called Balua. Also called Balua. Rabbi Kivega talks about Balua and Yeridei, about Chatzitzis. Let's say a person has something inside his nose. So that's Beis HaStorim. Let's say you have a Chatzitza in between your teeth. So the Gemara said there's a din of Chatzitza, even though you don't have to open your mouth, you don't need Biasmayim inside the mouth. When you're toivel in the mikveh, there's no need to open your mouth. But you need roi lebiasmai. That's the Gemara in the first parak in Kiddushin and in Nida. So the women, whoever goes to mikveh, has to brush your teeth and you have to use floss to make sure that there's no chatzitzes in between the teeth. That's a question whether that, but it's based on storm. So that's a big machloikis. Some rishonim hold that it's only midirabon. The Ritva Tosis seems told that it's a real din deraisa. And the Ritva thinks in Kiddushin, the first parak, that it's only midirabbanan. Many Achrayim assume like that, that the Chatzitz and the Beis HaStorim, many Achrayim are makel that it's only the Rabbanan, therefore you have a lot of kulas. And it's usually only a miut also. It's not a Raya. Menatar, it's only a Chatzitz if it's Chatzitz, it's on Raya. Here it's only a Chatzitz in between a couple of teeth. So it's only a miut. So it's a Rabbanan on top of a Rabbanan. Beis HaStorim, which many hold like that Ritva is only the Rabbanan, it's only a miut. So to begin with, it's a Rabbanan, Tap Rabbanan. So the big Galatian Achrayim from 100 years ago, so they make a lot about this, because it's a big chumrah to begin with. It's a Rabbanan on top of a Rabbanan. So the same is inside the nostril. If a person has some guk on the bottom of the nostril, even though the inside of the nostril is based on storim, but you need roi lebiasmaim. So this is a din of chatzitza. Rabbi Kivega writes, but what if the person's nose is stuffed high up in the nose? He said, then that's called balua. He said, then there's no din of chatzitza. That's called balua. So whatever is in the stomach or on the intestines is called balua. Whatever is in the rechem is called balua. But let's say a person has a chatzitza under his skin. A person has a something got stuck under the skin. So that's not on the surface, since it's under the skin, so it's balua, so there's no din of chatzitza. That's not a problem. That's not a problem. Let's say a person has a pacemaker, a person has a stent, so it's covering a certain part inside the body, but that's all balua. Whatever is balua is considered kenisha eina. So that's the Magen Avraham is bothered with akasha. That's a mishnah in the fourth perik in Chulin, behemam kasha. So the mishnah says when the baby is inside the rechem of the mother. Let's say the baby is not alive. The doctor knows the baby is not has no heartbeat. So the woman is carrying a dead baby. So kol zman the baby is inside, the mother doesn't become tame. When the baby is born, then if the mother touches him, then I'll be metame. But kol zman is inside is balua. So balua is kemisheino. It doesn't count at all. So the Magen Avraham asked the kasha, what's the whole story over here? That the mother is pregnant, Eish is coming over, she's going to go to a funeral, so what's the problem? The baby is not, the fetus is not going to be Mekabel Tumah. He's Balua. Balua is not Mekabel Tumah. So what's the whole discussion in the Rekeach? What's the whole discussion all about? So we mentioned once that Rab Chaim Oizer and Rab Ochanan Wasserman were brothers-in-law. They married two sisters. That was the second marriage of Rab Chaim Oizer. His first wife was the sister of Rab Yitzchak Kosofsky, who later moved to South Africa, and he was in Johannesburg for a while. He used to correspond a lot with Rab Chaim Oizer. Many of the Jews Rab Chaim Oizer written to Kosofsky. That's Rabbi Shulman's, Rabbi Elia Baruch Shulman's great-grandfather, is Rab Yitzchak Kosofsky from South Africa. So Rab Chaim Oizer's first wife was the sister of Kosofsky, but she died the day that they had a baby boy, and the day of the bris, she passed away. So his second marriage was the sister of Mrs. Rab Ochanan Wasserman. So they were brothers-in-law. So Rab Ochanan used to visit a lot by Rab Chaim Oizer. And he said, over Hanhoges and so on. So they both have the same idea to interpret Pshat and Nisra Keach. Maybe even though the Uber, the fetus, is Balua and he's not Mekabel Tumah, but maybe the Yisra of Kohanim not to be in contact with the Mace is even to be in contact in a way that it's not Mitame. Even though he's Balua, he's not Mekabel Tumah, but still, he's still in the Oil HaMace. The Kohen is still in the Oil HaMace, in the same room with the Mace. And maybe that's an Yisra, even though it's a stunt over here, that the Uber is not Mekabel Tumah. So that's the third pshat that they give. Why did if you hold that Mesi Akman Amitami Baal, so why does the Mechaber write a Chumrah that Kohanim should not go to a Goyish cemetery? The answer is, even though you won't become Tami, the Kohen is going to walk on it. And the cemetery of the Nochim is not going to become Tami, but still, it's a din. The Kohen is not allowed to come in contact with the Mace, even if it happens that he's not Mitami in. That's what some, I think, Rabbi Yankev Emden has a Chiddush, if I'm not mistaken. We spoke about it once, that even though Efer Hasrufim, if you cremated a body, so there's a Mishnah in Aholos that says the ashes from cremation are not metamei, but still a kohen is not allowed to come in contact with Efer Hasrufim. Why not? But if it's not metamei, what's the answer? The answer is no, there's a separate Issa. Kohen is not allowed to come in contact with a mace, even if it's an oif, and that is not metamei. Others say Rabbi Yankev Emden is wrong. They disagree a lot of times with a lot of things Rabbi Yankev Emden has said. Sometimes they have the Ferish and Mishnah is against him. So they say Rabbi Yankev Emden is wrong. The reason why it's not Mitam, because it's not called a mace. Parim Chadoshes and Gansen, if you cremate the body, it's not called a mace anymore. It's not called a mace. So you're not in the Kohen is not coming in contact with the mace. It's not because. Not that it's mutter to come in contact because it's not mitame. No, mutter to come in contact because it's not a mace anymore. The reason why it's not mitame because it doesn't have a shame mace. Efer Hasrufim is not called a mace. So those are the three suggestions that they give. Yeah. So if you would say this is a chiddush over here, according to the Second pshat in Tosfos, that if the Dabar HaChotze, it cannot stand on its own, but it's being supported on the Dabar Ach, which is in a Mekabel Tumah, then it is good. It doesn't have to be able to stand on its own. But if it's being supported by Dabar HaMekabel Tumah, then it's no good. Why not? Why not? The simple reading of our Gemara is because the Tumah penetrates the Dabar HaMekabel Tumah. If Pumi Legav, if the opening is in this direction, so then the Tumah goes through and through, penetrates the Dabar HaMekabel Tumah, and then it goes through. But over here, what does it bother me if it penetrates the Dabar HaMekabel Tumah? But the Dabar Chotzit is something else. This is a problem here. Anyway, so let's see again. So the Taptaisis made the distinction between Shmuel's din is only applicable Rokke Kenim and Mayit Bachalon. But if it's Soisim Lagamrei, then there's no problem. So Taisis proves this from the Gemara in Megillah. They quote from Daf Chavov that there was a mace in one room, and the Kohen wanted to go daven in the shul, boil it slowly in the Beis HaKnesses. So they said, move the Aron Kodesh over. Aron Kodesh is a double shenim Mekabel Tumah, because it's Kliyetz above Emida and Shoin. So they said, they're not going to leave the Aron Kodesh there permanently. The Aron Kodesh had the Sefer Torah. They're not going to switch it to be a bookcase for Svarim. It was used for Sidurim. It was used for an Aron Kodesh. You're not allowed to use it for other things. So Taisa says, you see, even though they're only leaving it there temporarily, but it's Soisim Lagamrei, so that's why it's Mutter. So other Rishonim gave a different answer why there's room to be Mekel there. That since they plan to leave the Aron Kodesh there, calls Mancha Meisham, so that's called Olamus. So you can't really prove it necessarily from that. So then Taisa later quotes a different Mishnah from the end of Masechet Shabbos. Where did they quote that? The end of Masechet Shabbos, there's a Mishnah, Pokokos Amor Bitofiach. Where is that in Tosfos? Oh, here, it's in this Tosfos, yeah. In the end of Masechet Shabbos, they tell a Maisa Shehoya that there was a tumah that went from one room to the other because there was a window. So on Shabbos, they put a kli in the opening that went from one room to the other. Pokkus Amor Bitofiach. So Tosfos asks, they didn't plan to leave the tafiach there permanently. A tafiach is a kli. They didn't plan to leave the kli permanently in the mor. Mor is the window that's maybe a satuma. So the answer is, Tosfos says, because it's Soisim Legamrei. Yeah, but that you can also interpret, because they're going to leave the Tafiach there called Mancha Meisham. So that the two rayas from Masechus Megillah, Masechus Shabbos, are not such conclusive rayas. In both cases, you can say that they did leave it permanently. Permanently means called Mancha HaTumasham, called Mancha Meisham. But from Agamor, that's how Tosfos interpreted Agamor. Higufa Techetz. How can it be Higufa Techetz? The answer is because it's Soisim Legamrei. Okay. Yeah, see. What does the Gemara have? Let's do again. Starting from on Chofam and Aleph in the fourth line. Meisvei, they ask that all the kashas are against Shmuel. Everything is a kasha and Shmuel. Meisvei, what's the kasha? Asavim shetolshen behinicha machalom. Asavim anad odem ekelem ochlem amashkem. It's a dover sheinim akabal tumeh. Maybe it's Michael Behema, but Michael Behema is not Mekabel Tumah. So Asavim can be Chaitzitz Befnei HaTumah, he should be able to be Memayit Bachalon. Asavim should Tosh Menich Bachalon. Oshola Me'aleim Bachalonos. We have ivy growing on the side of the building, so it grows into the Chalon, and it's so much. Now you no longer have a Tefach HaTefach. O Matlon Yishem Hem Sholosh HaSholos. Ashmate, a piece of cloth that's less than Gimel HaGimel Etzboes. So it's a piece of junk, and it's not called a beged. A beged is mekabel tumah if it's taka, a jacket, a shirt, a beged, or even if it's a piece of cloth that wasn't made into a beged, a piece of cloth that has sholosh al sholosh is considered mekabel tumah. What if you have a piece of cloth that's smaller than sholosh al sholosh? So that's a piece of junk, and that's not the dovah mekabel tumah. So dovah sheni mekabel tumah is choytzitz b'fnei atumah. If it's memayit b'chalon, you no longer have the tefach ha-tefach. Oh, heva babas ham dudol b'behem b'chayv yoyf, shoshochen b'chalon. Okay. It's osa b'achila. That's the posik basa basara trefa. Basara means kimish yotza basa chutz l'mchitzosa. So the basa b'yeva ham dudol b'behem b'chayv yoyf is osa b'achila. So therefore, it's been ma'id b'chalon. Other kachavim is dovah sheni b'kabel tumah. A baby ain't a chai below mace. The baby is not metame yet. If the baby is metame, how can it be soisem and a chaloin? It's not metame yet, but it's considered muktzah because it's probably going to die. If a baby is born in the eighth month and it does not appear to be a post-mature 7-month pregnancy, that's what we spoke about the other day. In the days of the Gemara, they thought that some kind of a thing or a 7-month pregnancy. So an eight-month pregnancy is either a post-mature 7-month pregnancy, in which case it's a bar chayama, or we don't think that there is, we never heard of such a thing. So today we assume all the ben shmoinahs are going to be premature. The premature ben shmoinah is not considered a bar chayama until he reaches the age of 20. And Bisman Azel, Chazon Ish said, if he's released from the incubator, the doctor says, okay, that's fine, okay. So it says, if you have a ben shmon in the days of Gemara, the baby's going to die. Amunah b'chalon, okay. So he's lo chai v'lo meis. So the baby is not, Tosfos says, it's not called an Adam. He's not chai, but he's not metamei either. Rashi writes, lo chai v'lo meis. The ben shmon amud apachalon is not a dova hamakabel tuma, and he's going to leave it there. The hamelach Rashi and Tosfos put, and you see that salt is not a dova hamakabel tuma. Even though you put salt on food to make it tasty, the food is makabel tuma, but the melach is not nechal bifnei atzmai, so melach is not makabel tuma. Okay, uklicheres. What kind of klicheres? Klicheres is makabel tuma. The Gemara is going to discuss. Some kind of klicheres is not mekabel tumah, but the sefer Torah is also not from the four things. Or the mekayim, mochel, and mashkim. Sefer Torah is a dovah sheni mekabel tumah. Kulam ematim b'chalon. Okay. Avol hashelig b'aborad b'haglid. The shelig b'aborad glid is going to melt by itself. Rashi says me'aleim is going to be nimoyach me'aleim. So that even if you don't agree with Shmuel, but the shelig and the board and the glid is going to melt by itself. So that for sure. Nimochim aleim, that's not a mechitza, it's not soisim ifnei atuma. Akfor, if you have ice, fine. Vahamayim, okay. If you have a container of water, so if you take away the container, the water is going to fall down. So there's no mechitza. Kunamein mematim machalom. So the Gemara asked the kasha, why does it say in this? Why says a mishnah? Why does it say in the mishnah? Tosefta, whatever, okay. So what does it say in the Tosefta? That what? That the asavim that grow by itself in the chalon is choitzis b'fnei atuma, but he's going to feed it to the behemoths. He's not going to leave it there. That's the kashavu asavim chozul the behemto. He's going to feed it to behemoths. He's not going to leave it there permanently. It's only there temporarily. So it's a kasha and Shmuel. So Shmuel answers by frasta. It's poison. Okay. Then Osholam Aleihem. It's growing by itself. So Gemara asked the kasha, but that's not healthy for the wall. Came in the kosel, l'koisel, since it's not, it's going to ruin the wall if you have asavim growing there. Shokaluhu said, not going to want to leave it there. So that's, it's not going to go away by itself, but it's a kasha and Shmuel. So the Gemara says, "Because al churva, he doesn't care. It's not a. He doesn't. The house collapsed anyway. The churva is a collapsed house. So he doesn't care. He's not going to take it away. A papa, my feel because al yishuv. even if it's a building that is being used, it's not a deserted building, it didn't collapse, but b'boim chutz l'shlosha l'chalon. When is it unhealthy to the wall if you have things growing within three tvachim to the chalon? But this, let's say, this is a kaisel. You have some vegetation, some long ivy begins growing over there, and then it goes up over here. But the roots are over there, more than three tvachim away from the kaisel. So then it's not kosher the kaisel. Sure. Matlonius, what's the issue? Shmatis. So shmatis is a piece of junk, it's a double shein and a kabel tum. Let's say you have a shirt and it's all torn into tiny little pieces. A piece of junk, so it's no longer. A shirt is makabel tum. Once you ripped it up, so it's worthless, so it's not a kli. So the Gemara says still, hachaziluhu lekriya de levusha. What's the kasha? Hachaziluhu. The kriya de lavusha, but you can use it to make a patch. And on the farms, the hillbillies, they wear dungarees. They wear what do you call it? Jeans. They wear jeans, and a lot of times there's a hole, so they take a shmata and they make a big patch on the hole. Then there's another hole, they make a patch on top of a patch. Talai agabi talai. So the Gemara asks, so what are you telling me? That the little piece of shmata, because it's less than gimel, or gimel, are going to throw it out. Why are you going to throw it out? You're going to save it and use it as a patch on a beged. So he may save it and use it. So then he's not mevatel it there permanently. It's only there temporarily. It's according to Shmuel, you have a kasha. Morian says, b'smichta. In people's clothing, you like to have smooth cloth. And even when you have a patch, you use a patch from a smooth beged, but here it's too thick, so they're not gonna use it as a patch on a trousers. So the Gemara says, "Kasha chazal l'umna," but a doctor can use it. What is the umna? What is a doctor? One who lets blood is called an umman. So what's the kasha chazal l'umna? You can use it. When they would let blood, they would absorb the blood with a little shmata. Then you're gonna throw it out, but. It does have a hishtamshus. It should still have the status of a beggar. Everything more beriska. What's beriska? What does it mean, beriska? It's going to scratch. Beriska shehu misarit. Yeah, so it's going to be scratchy. So he's not going to put it, the one who takes blood, he's not going to put this on top of the wound where he takes blood, that's going to cause more bleeding. It's not going to absorb the blood. Not going to use it. Iberiska, yeah, if it's rough and it's going to hurt the wound, shem behem shol shol shol, shem behem arbu al arbu meboyale, yeah. The minimum size that a beged has to be depends on how valuable the beged is. So if it's a normal piece of cloth, then the shear is gimel agimel, it's bois. Then the shear is gimel agimel. If it has gimel agimel, it's bois, he'll use it. But if it's cloth that scratches, thick cloth that scratches, then the shear, the minimum shear you have to have is arbo al abo tvochim. Abo is tvochim. You have to have arbo al abo tvochim. Everything more cane risk it. Not exactly scratchy. So the shear is still gimel agimel. Okay. Rabbi Yitzchok Ohanan, if I'm not mistaken, has a tshuva in his sefer in the Beri Yitzchok. The Gemara says when you make a kinyan chalipin, the pasuk says v'shalafish na'al v'nasan l'reya. You give a na'al. What is a na'al? So we usually assume a na'al means a shoe, and the targum on that pasuk says v'shalafish na'al. Na'al means a glove. Whatever, it has to be a kli. The Gemara says it has to be a kli shalem. If it's a broken kli, you can't use it. So what has the status of a kli shalem? So we usually use a handkerchief. So the Gemara says in the first parak in Bava Metzia, even if you don't give the whole handkerchief to the other person, let's say give him part of the handkerchief and the part that he's holding has gimel al gimel etzbois, gimel al gimel etzbois. So the Gemara says that's enough. Gimel al Gimel as boys of a handkerchief is enough to be considered a kli. But if I'm not mistaken, that din, a Gimel al Gimel as boys is enough, that's only if it's, if it's tzemer or pishtim. But if it's made from nylon, made from other materials, then you need more than Gimel al Gimel as boys to be in the Kabbal Tumah. So Rabbi Yitzchak Yochanan discusses the practice used to be when the Rabbanim would sell the chametz of the Balabatim. The Rambam writes that there's a minig. First he starts off that the minig is not doesn't make any sense, but then he knocks sense into it. And when I appoint somebody as a shliach, let's say a man wants to divorce his wife, so he appoints a shliach to deliver the get to his wife. So the minig is, when the shliach wants to receive the power of attorney to be able to represent the husband, to give the get to the wife, the shliach gives a handkerchief to the husband, and thereby the husband gives him over, transfers over to him the koyach habaylus, the koyach hashliach. So the Rambam says, mikra din, you don't need any kinyan. You just appoint the shliach. You don't need a kinyan, they in the kinyan b'hem tam, and it's not chal, and it doesn't accomplish anything. But nonetheless, the Rambam explains why there is such a minhag. It's to demonstrate that it's b'lev sholem, gomarti v'yosisi dovazeh. That I appoint you as a shliach, but they've shown say make a kinyan suitor. So then the Rambam writes, so if the person will say b'lev shon gamarte v'amarte dovazet, then you don't even need, then there is no room for the minig. Then there's no room for the minig. Rav Soloveitchik used to say that every rabbi who's been in the rabbinate for long enough knows that on Erev Pesach in the morning, as he's about to go to the nochri to sell the chametz, one of the balabatim will call up on the phone and say, Rabbi, I forgot to come to the office to sign up that I want you to sell the chametz for me. So you don't need that, you should come in person. If he calls on the telephone, it's also good. But we have a minig that you make a kabbalah skinyan. So Rabbi Soloveitchik said, you got to be mekayem the minig. Chazanish and the stipler, his brother-in-law, never, whenever they would ask the rabbi to sell the chametz, they never sold chametz. They never sell the chametz to the goy, they would always ask the rabbi, the local rabbi, to sell the chametz on their behalf. So they never bothered to make the kinyan suitor, because the chazanish held that it's a minig shtus. Because the Rambam says you don't need ein tzrichim kinyan minig shlichas, you don't need a kinyan, ein the kinyan behem tam, and it doesn't accomplish anything. Rav Soloveitchik said, yeah, that's how the Rambam first starts off, but then he continues to explain why it does make sense. Rav Soloveitchik insists that you do have to observe the minig. So he said, and even if the balabos calls on the telephone, how can you make a kinyan over the telephone? So he said there are two ways to observe the minig. One way is, like the Rambam himself says, tell the balabos over the phone, he should say, "Vleib shalom gamarta v'yasisi dovezeh." I appoint you as mashliach. He tells the rabbi, I appoint you as mashliach v'leib shalom. So then the Rambam says, then there's no need for the kinyan surah. Because he said, "B'leib shalom gamarta v'yasisi dovezeh." Or, Rav Soloveitchik gave another suggestion. Ask the balabos if there's, balabos is in his office on our Pesach in the morning. He goes to work. They ask him if there's another Jew there in the office who can give his handkerchief. So if the other person gives his handkerchief to the balabos, that's a good kinyan surah. He didn't have a knaini. What's Eved Knaini? That's a Gemara in Kiddushin. Eved Knaini is like this. Eved Knaini is Yotze Lecheres, are they shtar or are they kesef? That's how the Pasuk says by Shivcha Harufa. Havdeilon if dosa ochuv shalon nitan lo. Havdeilon if dosa means she's a peduya, pidyon usually is bekesef. Havdeilon if dosa, she was not nivdis bekesef, she was not nishtachara bekesef. She wasn't freed with the shtar shichra. So Gemara and Gitna understands from that pasuk there are two ways to be mishachra and evik naini, either aydei shtar or aydei kesef. So how can you have aydei kesef? The evik naini doesn't have any money. Kol mashikon evikon a rabbi. The truth of the matter is kol mashikon evikon a rabbi only applies if he acquired money while he was mayevit. Let's say a nochri is a multimillionaire and he has all his money in a bank account somewhere and he sells himself to me as an Eved Knaini. So he, just because he becomes an Eved Knaini, all of his millions that are stashed away in his mattress or in his bank account, I don't acquire it. Any money he acquires while he's an Eved Knaini of mine. Kol mashikon Eved kon a rabbi, whatever cash he acquires, whatever mammon he acquires, he picks up an aveda, somebody gives him a matana, then it goes to the other. Whatever money he owned before he became an eved, that doesn't go to me. So the Gemara could have said, the Eved Kanani has millions of dollars. It's a funny case, though. So why is he an idiot if he's so rich? And why did he sell himself to me as an Eved Kanani? It doesn't make sense. So he sold himself because he's poor. He's impoverished. That's why he sold himself. He wants to have a parnasa. He wants to have food to eat. So the Gemara asks, how do you ever have an Eved Kanani Yotzeh L'Cheres Ayidei Kesef? Mashikon Eved Kanani Rabbi. So the Gemara has a whole discussion. Maybe someone else gave the money to the Eved Amara Shein L'Rabbi Rishuz Boi. So that's a whole machlokes satana, whether that helps or not. We paskin it doesn't help. So the Gemara says, how do you have kesef? So the Gemara says, he can be Mashiach at Eved Kanani Kesef like the Echerim. Not that Eved Kanani gives the money. Someone else gives money to the Odon, and he says, here's $500,000, do me a favor, free your Eved Kanani. So Kesef like the Echerim is good. But normally, can you Kesef, the Kaina, let's say I want to buy a house. So I give you, and you say the price is $500,000. So when the Lekech gives the money to the Mecher, that's called the Kinya Kesef. Here a third party is giving the money. Mar said, that's okay. The Kesef HaYidachem is good. Midinya Evekanayni. So Taisa says, Evekanayni is not only good by Kinya Kesef, it's good by Chalipin as well. We do it all the time. Let's say in the Chosin Stish, when you go to a wedding. So the rabbi tells the Chosin, do you want to accept the responsibility of Tosefes Ksuba and Edunya? The Ike Ksuba, whether he accepts or he doesn't accept. Once he marries a girl, that's a Takanas Tanoim, that he's Mukhiv to pay the Ike Ksuba if he'll divorce her or he dies, so she's entitled to collect the Ike Ksuba. The Ike Ksuba is peanuts, though. It's only 50 slime, 50 shkolim. So whatever Pidyon HaBen these days, something like $80, $100, not so much, the Pidyon HaBen. Pidyon HaBen is 5 sloim. So if you multiply that by 10, so that's the ksuba. The ksuba is 50 sloim. Chamishim shekel kesef. It says, if someone is ba'anas and mafata gur, kesef yishkol ke mohar habesulos. It gives 50 shkolim the value of the ksuba. Kesef yishkol ke mohar habesulos. Not so much. 10 times Pidyon HaBen. If Pidyon HaBen is $100, so it's going to be $1,000. That's not. She won't be able to, if he divorces her today. The Yerushalmi says that the ksuba is supposed to be enough to live on for a year. He give her a year to find another shidduch. She can't live on $100. You can't even live a week on $100. So what do we say? $100 is pidyon haben. So let's say this will be 10 times. It'll be $1,000. You can't live so long on $1,000 either. So the main part of the ksuba is the other two parts. There are three parts to every ksuba. There's the ikke ksuba, which is 50 shloim. Then you have tosefes ksuba. He adds on meir zekukin kesef. So zekukin are coins from the days of the Maharil, Austrian coins. That's worth thousands. That's worth a fortune of money, $50,000 or something like that. And then you add on the denyedunya danolas, you assess all of the value of all of the property that the girl is bringing into the marriage, the whole nedunya. She comes with clothing, and her parents probably bought her sheets and pillowcases and fancy dresses, and she has jewelry. Maybe she has an automobile also. So we assess everything all together as meir zekukin kesef tzor, sachakol masayim zekukin kesef tzor. You're adding up together the tosefes ksuba that the chosin adds on out of the goodness of the heart. And he's mishabin himself this exaggerated amount of money for many years. That was way more than the girl brings into the marriage. It adds up to a fortune of money. So you have to have a Kabbalah's kinyan on that. On the ikik ksuba, you don't need a Kabbalah's kinyan. That's a takanas chacham. Even if you wouldn't make a kinyan suder, he's chayiv that it's takanas atanayim. But the tosefis and the nedunya, which is an exaggerated amount of money, if that's how much she really brought into the marriage and clothing and jewelry and everything, so you don't need a kinya for that either. But for many centuries, that was an exaggerated amount of money. The mayor's a cook in kesef tzor. So for that, you need a kabbalah's kinyan. The chosn has to make a kinyan. So the chosn has to make a kinyan. The kelub shalkana, the kala has to give a handkerchief to the chosn in exchange for his receiving the handkerchief. He obligates himself to give her this added $100,000. The kala's in the other room. Kala's in the other room. Everybody's greeting the kala. The chosn is in the chosn's tish. So the kala doesn't give a handkerchief to the chosin. The rabbi gives a handkerchief, or the witnesses give the handkerchief. So how is that good? So Taisa says, you see, in the days of the Gemara, that's what they always did. Because at the end of the Gemara has a text of the shtoris that they used to make in the days of the Gemara. We, the undersigned, the two Edom, usually gave their handkerchief to the person whom with whom they were making a kinyan. The Malva didn't give a handkerchief to the Loiva to make Sheba Nechasim. The Edom gave a handkerchief to the Chasim, the Edom gave the handkerchief to the Loiva to be Meshabed the Loiva on behalf of the Malva. So Tosfos said that's been Din Aviknani. Just like Din Aviknani is good for Kinyan Kesef, to buy an Aviknani, he can see it's a Lecheres like the Kesef like the Acheret. If I want to buy a field, and the field costs $100,000. Either I pay the $100,000, or someone else gives it to the mocher on my behalf, so that constitutes a kinyan kesef. So the same is true regarding kinyan chalipa. Someone else gives the handkerchief instead of the kone, it's supposed to be bekelub shel kone, but if someone else gives his handkerchief, it's also considered bekelub shel kone. So that's what we do all the time. We do that all the time. The kala doesn't give her handkerchief to the chas, not even there in the room, she's in the other room. The rabbi or the Edom give their handkerchief. And you write the Kaninim and A. We, the undersigned, we made a kinyan with the chasan on behalf of the kala. So that's midin aviknani. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik said, these two suggestions. If the Baal HaBos calls up on the phone the last minute, it's too late to come over to the rabbi's home and to sign on the Shtar Mechira. So he can appoint the rabbi Yashliach Baal Peh over the telephone. But we should try to be mekayim the minig that you make a kabbalas kinyan. So one way to be mekayim the minig, the Rambam says, let the person say, "Belev shalom gamarti v'amarti davar zeh." I appoint you as my shliach to sell my chametz belev shalom. And the other way is to ask the Baal HaBos if there's another Jew there in the office with him, let the other person give his handkerchief to you on my behalf. So it'll be considered as if the rabbi gave his handkerchief to the Baal HaBos. And in exchange for which the Baal HaBos gave the power of attorney, the power to sell his chametz. The Baal HaBos gave the power of attorney to the Baal HaBos, to the rabbi. Yeah. So the meaning in Europe always used to be that the rabbi would make the Kabbalah's kinyan, they would wear long jackets, and they would tell the Baal HaBos, grab hold of the jacket like this. They would grab hold of so much of the jacket that's gimel gimel etz boys. But that's good. Gimel gimel etz boys. The Gemara says it's mekabel tumas. I think the Mishnah says in Kalim, gimel gimel etz boys of a big beged is mekabel tumah. If it would only be gimel gimel, it would be good. If it's tzemer or pishtim, but by us, most of the suits are not tzemer or pishtim. They're other material and the modern suits. So that's Ushayla. Is that acceptable? Is that acceptable? What if it's cotton? So cotton you need up is more than gimel al gimel. I don't remember if you need dollar al dollar tfachim, but you need more than gimel al gimel at boys. So Rabbi Yitzchak Ochanan has a tshuva about that. And he quotes, if I'm not mistaken, he quote, I think it's a Piske HaTosis in Bava Basra. You got to look in the back of the Gemara. Usually Piske HaTosis just tells you what it says in Tais. Once in a long while, once every 100 Piskei HaTosis, he has a statement that does not appear in Tosis. So I think he has, either it's a Tosis in the end of Bava Basra, or it's a Piskei HaTosis, I forgot already. It's a needle in a haystack. So Rabbi Yitzchak Ochanan knew Bava Basra very well. So he quotes, I forgot already where it is, either a Tosis or a Piskei HaTosis, that even though for Kabbalah's Tumah purposes, if it's not Tzemer or Pishtim, you need a bigger piece of cloth, not enough, Gimel HaGimel HaTzboiz. But for Kenyan Suda, the Gimel Gimel Ad's boys is good, even though it's neither Tzema nor Pishna, even though it's not Mekabel Tuma. People usually assume that it's Toli Zebezeh. If you hold on to the beggar, if you hold on to Gimel Gimel, it's good, because Gimel Gimel is enough to mean Mekabel Tuma. But if it's not Tzema Pishna, it's not enough. So he quotes a Tosa that says it's not so. Okay, we've got to look. It's later in the Mesichta. Then what does the Gemara say? Eba basam dodolim b'behema b'chaya u'biyof. So the Gemara says, why is that chaytze b'fnatim urka b'yozla? The animal is not going to stand there forever. The animal is going to run away. The animal is going to run away. I have to think more b'kshur. It's tied up there. It can't run away. Freg the Gemara shachet lo. He's going to shecht it and eat it. So he's not going to leave the... He can't eat the basa b'yeba hamul dodolim. That's an isa basa basa treifa. But the animal is going to be geshochten, and then this the bus of Eiv Haldon is going to disappear from the window. And for the Gemara, it's a behemoth tameya. It's a behemoth tameya, an oif tamei, so therefore you can't shecht. In fact, Gemara, mazman leila nachri, a Jew can't eat it. They'll sell it to a goy, the goy will eat it. After the Gemara, bikusha. It's such a skinny malink, the goy, no one is going to pay money for it, it's worthless. In fact, Gemara, pasik shalabu leklovim, but he'll probably cut off that part of the animal and feed it to the dogs. I'm thinking, man, no, that's an issa. Tzabal HaChaim is not going to do it. Kev Nika, Tzabal HaChaim, loyov. He wouldn't do that because that's an issa. So he's going to rather leave it there, leave the oaf there, leave the behem HaChaibi oaf. Or if you have an oaf, Sheshoch HaMachalon, a bird is sitting in the window, that's Chaitzitz Bifnatum. In fact, Gemara, Parach V'Yozel, what do you mean? The bird is going to fly away. There should be a kashi, even if you don't hold like Shmuel. Shmuel said, Rocky came to b'chalon because you're going to take it away. It's not going to be there permanently. So it's not chaytzes. But the birds are going to go by itself. That should be like the snow and the ice and the frost that's going to melt by me'aleihem. So here also, the bird is going to fly away by itself, perfectly also. It's a kashi, even if you don't hold like Shmuel. Everything more b'kosher. The bird is tied down. So what if it's tied down? But it's useful. You're going to shecht it and eat it. Everything more... B'tomei, it's a trefer bird. Fegmos al selat al goy. The goy me trefer bird. Everything about b'kal nisa. It's such a skinny malink. The goy, no one's going to buy it. No one's interested in it. Shai. Fegmos yaiv le liyanuka. Maybe he'll give it to a baby to play with. That's in the days of the Gemara. Apparently there was such a practice. The Gemara talks about psik reshe v'lo yomos, that if you have a live bird, and you want it, and your baby needs a toy to play with, so they would take, the practice would be, they would take a bird and cut off the neck and give the body of the bird to the child to play with. So the Gemara says, even though I'm just interested in making a toy for the baby, but psikreshe below you, almost atzavadoes, I'm not interested in killing the chicken, but everybody knows if you cut off the head, it's going to die. So that's, you don't say, even though we pass like Rav Shimon, and the Dov Shenim is Kavan is Mutar on Shabbos. But if it's a vaday that's going to bring about dovishen miskav, means I'm doing a pula hamvuteris, which may or may not result in a pula hasura. So I'm cutting off, I'm making a toy for a child, that's a pula hamvuteris. But it's not that it may or may not result in the death of the bird. A vaday will result in the death of the bird. That's what it calls psikreshe veloyomus. Is it possible to cut off the head to make a toy and not kill the bird? Of course the bird is going to die. So the original psikreshe veloyomus then is talking about Yaiv Leili Yanuka. When you want to give it as a toy, you want to cut off the head and give it as a toy. And for the Gemara, this is talking about a bird that the misarit. It's going to scratch and the kid is going to get harmed. So that's why we're not going to give this bird, we're not going to cut off the head and give the bird to the children to play with as a toy. In fact, the Gemara, but you just said before, you talk about a kalnisa, a skinny malink, kalnisa lo misarit. And for the Gemara, ain't kalnisa. We're not talking about the kalnisa. Kalnisa is a particular bird. That bird happens that it doesn't have any toenails. It's not going to scratch. We're talking about a bird that's similar to Kalnisa, skinny malink, and it doesn't have, and it does scratch. Okay. So each one, the Gemara is going to ask, how is Shmuel going to deal with this? Of Gecham Shiosha B'chalon, he's going to walk away by himself. That's a kashi, even if the Luchar, that's a kashi, even if you don't hold like Shmuel. It's not that he's going to take away the guy, the Dov Achotzitz is going to walk away by itself. And the Gemara, because he's tied up and he can't go anywhere. Someone else, a friend, is going to come and untie him. So since he's probably going to be freed, so shouldn't be chaytzitz b'fnei atum. That's a kasha and shmuel. And for the Gemara, ben sir, he has a contagious disease and no one wants to come near him. Another Mitzorah will come, who already has this contagious disease. Another Mitzorah will come and free. And for the Gemara, no, the answer must be, B'chavush em Malchus, he's a prisoner, he was tied up by the government, they're not going to let anybody untie. Okay, that's the pshat in this Mishnah, in this Tosefta, in this Mishnah. All these things are choytzitz b'fnei atumah, it means if you're going to leave it there permanently. Then it says, ben shmon amunach lachalon, is what is chaytzes b'fnei atuma? Because it ain't a mekabel tuma. Why is ain't a mekabel tuma? Because it ain't a kechai. In nishken odom, Tosis says. Taisa says he's not called an Adam. Here, the last line in the Taisa is Va'ovikachavim. So the last line in that Taisa is they write the Ben Shmoina Einem Mekabel Tuma. Why? Kishuhucha, even though he's still alive, he didn't die yet. The Laikri Adam. Rashi writes he's Lo Chai V'Lo Meis. Interesting. Lo Chai V'Lo Meis. So he's not Mekabel Tuma because Lo Chai. If he's lochai, then he should be an, he should be a mace. So mace is mentami ba'ol. So that, what do you mean? The ben chesed gani chotzer put that. The ben chesed is mentame. That should be a source of tumah. So the Gemara says no. Rashi says no. He's a lochai v'lo mace. So the ben shmoina is not mekabel tumah. So it's chotzer. It's frag the Gemara. But asi ime chazil dariale. The mother's going to come and pick him up. She's not going to leave him there. So it's a, that's a kashan shmuel. Shmuel says even if a person plans to take away the Dovah Chaitzeit, then it's only there temporarily. It's not going to go away by itself. Not going to be the Moich Me'elah. Everything more, we're talking about Shabbos. It's Chaitzeit without Tum on Shabbos. The Tanya, we have a din. Men Shmein Ariel Kevin Mukta. Eitz Mavon of the office, the original Mukta Machmas Atzmai. So Ariel Kevin, because he's basically like a mace. Alpidin is Lochai Veloi mace, but he's basically dead. Unless he survives till the age of 20, which is highly unlikely. If he survives the age of 20, then we say he was a chai. But he's probably not going to survive. Ariel Kevin v'asul l'taltalo b'Shabbos. He's not allowed to handle mukts on Shabbos. The same as mace. Even though he's lo chai v'la mace, but to be get to mukts, the same as mace. Avol, however, ima shecha, but the mother's permitted to nurse the baby mipnei ha'sakana. Ima shecha, the mother can lean over the baby without handling him. Umeni kosa in tenersim ipneha sakona. Who's sakona? So the Rashi and the other Masechtas, here they tell you to look in the other Rashis. Rashi and the other Masechtas has two pshatim. Idem ipneha sakona, the mother sakona. Mother is not the sakona's modest, but it's painful. If a nursing mother doesn't express the milk, it's going to be very painful. So they learn ipneha sakona's tsar. It doesn't mean real sakana. Menei sakana is tsar. She's allowed to nurse the baby without picking up the baby. She shouldn't pick up the baby because the baby is muktzah. The other pshat that they give, Rashi has two pshat. The other pshat, no, menei sakana is a uber, because there is a far-out chance that he will survive till the age of 20. So on the one hand, we say that you're not allowed to pick him up. Also, the Taltalo b'Shabbos, because he's probably not going to survive till 20. But on the other hand, we allow the mother to be menikim. There is a far-out chance that, and it's not a malacha. If the mother expresses milk, that's a malacha. That's a question. What, let's say if you milk the cows on Shabbos, what malacha is there milking a cow on Shabbos? The Gemara says, Chayla b'Zos on Shabbos. Why? Why is it Asa? So there are different opinions in the Rishonim. Which malacha is it? So some Rishonim say that it's Disha. Some Rishonim say that it's... In Eretz Yisrael, that was a big issue in the beginning of the Yishuv in the recent years. The non-observant Chalutzim who went to Eretz Yisrael, so they had farms and they were milking the cows on Shabbos, and the Jews said, you're not allowed to milk... The religious Jews said, not allowed to milk the cows on Shabbos. So what do you do? So what do they do in Europe when the Jews had farms? So they had goyim milk the cows. They said you should have goyim milk the cows. So they said no, that's avodah zarah. They have non-Jews to build the medina based on non-Jews. Amir Eliakim, that's avodah zarah. They're not allowed to have avodah zarah. You have to have the Jews have to milk the cows. So that's what Rab Chaim Moizer was very upset, and the Chazanish and Rabbi Chana Basman, they were very upset about that. So they had to come up with heterim, how they're allowed to milk the cows. That was a big issue, the Avodah Zarah issue. They didn't want to build, you can't build a Jewish Medina based on Amir Eliyahu. The Jews have to do everything. So what's the issue? What's exactly the issue in milking cows? So one of the Achrayim wrote, Kvadosha Bei Rabim. Means it's been discussed at length in the halachic literature. Others said, Kvadosha Bei Rabim, that's only one sheet, the Disha. Others say it's not Disha. So Disha is a malacha if you have the kernels of grain have shells around them, and you bang the kernels of grain in such a way that you detach the oichel from the psolus. It's all mixed in together. You're going to have to separate it later. It's not borer. It's not a form of borer. Disha means you're separating, you have sort of a colloid. You have oichel and psolus that grew together. Or let's say you have a sponge that has mashke absorbed in it, and you squeeze out the mashke from the sponge. So you have an oichel and a mashke that are combined together, and you detach them. So that's a question, a sponge, is that a real Issa Deraisa? Because it didn't grow naturally like that. The oichel and the psolus, that's why it grows from the ground. That's disha. The Rambam says, if you cause an animal to bleed, the Gemara says, chovel b'shabbos, if you cause a human being to bleed, you squeeze out blood, or you take blood. Someone's going to donate blood on Shabbos, you take blood, or you squeeze out blood. So the Rambam says, what's the malach of chovel? So the Rambam says that it's disha, because you have the body of the animal, or the body of the person, and then the blood is circulating in the veins, and then you squeeze out the blood. It was naturally combined, the blood with the flesh. Flesh and blood were combined, and now you're separating the two from each other. We usually don't assume like the Rambam. Rashi says that if you cause bleeding, it's a malacha of tzoveya. And Taisa is not happy with Rashi. Taisa says that bleeding, causing bleeding on Shabbos, is a malacha of netilus neshama, shechet. Aye, but the animal remains alive. So Taisa's quotes a loshana gemara in nida malikot lakula malikot lapalga. Because the Taisa explains, because the pasuk says ki adam hu anefesh, because the blood circulation is what keeps the animal alive. Somehow in the world of medicine, they didn't know that till a few centuries ago. But the Gemara says like that. The pasuk says like that. Ki adam hu anefesh. The blood circulation is what keeps the animal alive. So if you cause bleeding on Shabbos, so that's a malach of netilas neshama. Because malikot lekula, malikot lepalga. Since the dam keeps the animal alive, and this is a miktas misa. That's what we usually assume like Taisus, that the causing bleeding is a malach and tilas and shama. Why do we assume like Taisus? Because the Achrona quote, Yerushalmi says beferish like that, that chavoda b'shabbos is aser because of netilas and shama, malikot lekul, malikot lepal. I don't know why the Rambam's usually the one who quotes all the Yerushalmi. The Rambam doesn't rely here on Yerushalmi. The Rambam says that it's disha, and Rashi probably also didn't have any Yerushalmi, so Rashi said that it's tzaveya. Yeah, so that's the shailas. So milking a cow, the pashtus is that it's disha. Taisa is not happy with the pshat of disha. Why? Because the Gemara says, ain't disha to be gidule karka. And a behemah is not gidule karka. So it's going to turn out that milking a cow is only disha midirabbanon. It wouldn't appear so. Taisa said, maybe it is true, but it wouldn't appear so. They get the impression that milking a cow is a malacha derais. So Rabbi Natan comes up with a chiddush that it's an isra borer. What borer? The animal is not royal achila, you didn't shecht it, and the milk is going to be royal achila. So you're separating oichel from non-oichel. You can't say it's psolus, you're separating oichel from non-oichel. The milk is edible, and the behemah is not yet edible, you didn't shecht it yet. Then other rishonim say that it's tochein. Kolzman, the milk is inside the udder, it's all together. Then when you express the milk from the cow, so it's in tiny particles of milk, so that's a malach that's a malach of tochein. Very surprising. Tochein, why is it tochein? It's still all one big puddle of milk. Some Hashem say it's tochein. Others say that it's a malach of gozes. The Gemara never says what the malacha is. Other Rishayim say it's a malacha of gozes. Gozes usually means if you cut off a fingernail, you cut off hair. You're detaching something from the organism. That's gozes. So if you milk a cow, some hold that that's gozes. So they're different opinions. So one opinion is that if you milk the cow, it's disha. That's the way we usually assume it's disha, and the Rabbi Natan holds that it's borer, because you're separating the oichel from the non-oichel. The animal is a non-oichel, Others say that it's tochein, and others say that it's gozeis. I think there are more than four shitas. There's a four shitas, yeah. Different opinions. Anyway, so milking a cow or expressing milk, the mother has pain. So if she's going to express milk and save it and feed it to the baby tomorrow, put it in a bottle, feed it to the baby, that'll be a malacha, either a malacha derais. So somehow that milking a person, milking a cow, is only malacha midrabbanan. We usually assume that it's a malacha derais. So it's a big discussion. How serious an iser is it, and what is the iser? Somehow that it's disha, and ain't disha the gedule karka. So cows and human beings are not gedule karka. So it's only disha midrabbanan. And others say no, it's a different iser. But anyway, a cholev is a malacha. We're not sure exactly what malacha. We're not sure whether it's derais or derabbanan. So it says, "Avalima shocha olam many kosmim bnei asakana." Those are the two pshatim the Rashi has, and the other mesichtas. Where is this? This din, the Tanya. This din appears in other mesichtas. What's the dalad? In Shabbos and in Yevamos, it's a tosefta. So in those places, Shabbos and Yevamos, Rashi has the other pshatim, the two pshatim. Bnei asakana means sakana, so tinoik. Bnei asakana means the mother. The mother is in pain. Yeah. So the Gemara is defending Shmuel's Shita. The Bentes, here there's an important Tosfos. The bottom Tosfos, Asya Ime, V'Daria Le B'Shabbos. The Gemara asks, the mother's going to come take the baby away. The Gemara answers, B'Shabbos. But after Shabbos, what's going to be after Shabbos? It shouldn't be chaytzitz b'fnei atoma. Because after Shabbos, the mother's going to take it away. The Tosfos says the baby is a goseis and is going to die before Shabbos is over. Ari, it's an ukimta pshat. Must be the case is the baby's goseis, sheyom is kodim sheyetzia Shabbos. Aye, but then you have to bury the baby. So the Tosfos says no. The Omar, and the mother will think, Sham teik furasa. That's what we mentioned yesterday, the other day. Sham teik furasa means that That's not kvura b'karka. So you see that Tosa holds that a nefil doesn't need kvura b'karka. That's a machlekes in the Magen Avraham, Hilchos Kvuras Ameis on Yantam Sheni, whether nefil needs kvura or not. So mi'ikra then we paskin, you don't need kvura. The meaning is that after the fifth month, when a woman already feels the movement of the baby inside the rechem, the meaning is that you do kvura b'kevi Yisrael. But mi'ikra then you don't need it. Then we pass on like the tzedukim. The Gemara in Nida says it's tzedukim darshan the pasuk that there's no chiyuv kvura on an eifel. Yeah.
According to the pshat that Rashi brings, that sakana is for mother and it's just sakana's tsar. That's enough to be docha deraisa, just tsar.
No, what are we docha deraisa? The baby is eating. The baby is drinking the milk. The baby apparently is able to drink. Shecha olav many kosai. When a mother feeds a baby on Shabbos, that's not a malacha. That's mutter. That's mutter. That's not a violation. Yeah. Then the Brisa said that salt is a dovah sheni makabel tumah. Interesting. Ochlam mashkim royal achilus adam is makabel tumah, but salt is not makabel tumah. Salt is not. That's what Tosfos says. Mashma mehacha deina melech mekabel tumah. Okay. That salt is not mekabel tumah. So the Gemara asked the Kasha, Chazila, he's not going to leave the salt there. He's going to use it. Why should he leave salt there permanently? I'm thinking about bimararisa. For some reason or another, it's very bitter, and he's not going to use it. Fegma chazila oris. Okay, so he can use it for food. It's going to make the food very bitter, but he can use it to tan hides, to convert the hide into leather or into parchment, whatever you put in salt, everything more. This beikotzi has a lot of thorns in it. Sure. Shreg di gemara, but it's not healthy for the wall, for the kaisel, to leave salt. The salt is sitting on the wall. It's a davar meisav hevel. And that's the gist of the Mishnah. You say that there are three things that the neighbors have to be careful. Masunta, and Havla in Ro'oda. You shouldn't drill because the drilling will cause the wall to fall down. You make the whole earth shake. And you shouldn't have hot things, a habla, you shouldn't have an oven right next to someone else's wall because you're going to ruin the wall. And masunta, you shouldn't have a pit that has a lot of water or a place where you have meiraglaim there, or you have a place to wash your clothing, a hole in the ground, and it's too close to the wall, so the water will seep out. If it's 5 amos away, it's not going to seep out. So it has to be 6 tefachim away. The other fellow has a bor, so your bor that's going to have water has to be 6 tefachim away from the other bor. Or if you have a bor that's going to hold water, it should be at least 3 tefachim away from the wall. Otherwise, the water will ruin the kaisel. Yeah. So the Gemara asked the kasha, if you're going to leave salt is one of the things that's moisiv hevel. The Mishnah Masechta Shabbos has a dinim. We spoke the other day. There's a din of hatmana at the Shabbos and hatmana b'chol. So hatmana b'chol is only also if it's davar moisiv hevel. But if it's hatmana b'shabbos, then it's even also if it's just mamin hevel. It's not moisiv hevel. So the Mishnah gives you a whole Mishnah Shabbos. By that time, it gives you a whole list of different things that are moisiv hevel. So people look at the Mishnah like it's a strange thing. These things are moisiv hevel. Why is it moisiv hevel? So they found that the United States government has a list of things that are moisiv hevel that the farmers have to be careful because it's combustible. It may break out into a fire. So the United States government has the same list that corresponds to the list in Masechta Shabbos, all the things that are moisiv hevel. We don't live on a farm, so we're not familiar with that. But farmers know if you have these kind of things, you have sid and you have salt. The salt is, the sun is going to shine on it. It'll be combustible. It'll break out into a fire. It can burn down the whole barn. So that's what the Gemara asks. So melach is not healthy for the wall because it's davar hamoisiv hevel. So for the Gemara, keeping the kasha lekoisel shaklaleis. According to Shmuel, even if you'll take it away, it's not there. You're not going to bottle it permanently. Not only if it's going to fall away by itself, nimochem aleihem. Even if you're going to take away, it's also not chaytzes b'fnatum. I have to think about the yasva achaspa. The salt is sitting on top of a chaspa, so the salt will not ruin the wall. Frek digma, so let the chaspa be memayit bachalon. The chaspa is a piece of clay material. You have an old, chaspa usually means you have an old jug that's a kli cheres and it cracked and it smashed. So you use that chaspa, a piece of clay. So you have the clay in the window and then you have the salt on top of it. So the Gemara says, so forget about the salt. Forget about the salt. The chaspa should be chaytzes. And for the Gemara, chaspa gufo techetz. And for the Gemara, the leis v'shiur. Yeah, it's a big chalon. The chaspa is b'mayit a little bit in the chalon. The chaspa is 3/4 of an inch tall. But you still have a tefach al tefach in the opening. So then you have a whole bunch of salt. You have a pile of salt on top of that. So if the salt would count, then it would be chaytzes b'fnei atumah. So Gemara says, here the salt is good, because it's not ruining the building, it's not going to take it off, and it's not edible, and it's not useful for tanning. So the guy's going to leave it there. It's a piece of junk. Shine. Then it says in the Mishnah, Kli Cheres. You have a Kli Cheres, and it's in such a way that it's not Mekabel Tumah. If the opening is where the mace is, then it's Dovah Mekabel Tumah, and the Chaitz is Bifnei Tumah. The opening is in the other direction. So, Fek Digmar, Bachazilei, but the Kli Cheres is going to be a useful thing. So he's not going to leave it there permanently. So, according to Shmuel, that's a Kashan Shmuel. Fek Digmar, the Mitnef, it's filthy. It's filthy, so therefore it doesn't pay. These are cheap. In the days of the Tanaim, if you had, they used to put oil with a wick to burn in a kli cheres. So after they would light every night, it's dark in the house, they didn't have electric bulbs, so they used to put oil with a wick. So if you lit in a kli cheres, it would take hours to remove all of the grease, all to get all the gook out from the thing. So it didn't pay to clean it. It's going to take 5 hours to clean it. With the detergent, it's going to cost you money for the detergent. So you throw it out in the garbage. That's called muktzmach masmivus. That's a machloikis hatanoim. If you have something, it's a kli, Theoretically, you can spend 5 hours and clean it out, but it doesn't pay. For a nickel, you buy yourself another kli, like we have plastic cups, or we have paper cups, disposable cups. So if you want, you can keep on reusing the same cup many times over and over and over again. But the whole cup cost 3 pennies. So it doesn't pay to wash it out. Maybe sometimes it does. Maybe sometimes it does. But this kli cheres took a long time to clean out, because the oil, the grease from the oil and the burning and the fire, it would get filthy. So that's a machlokes hatanaim. You have a kli, but you're probably going to throw it into the garbage. So that's machlokes Rab Shimon and Rab Yehuda, whether there's a din of muktza bekelim. The thing is a kli, but you plan to throw it out in the garbage. So we paskan like Rab Shimon, there's no such din of muktza machmas mius. In Yiddish, there's such an expression. You say a person is a disgusting individual, we call them a muktza machmas mius. But we paskan la'alocha that there ain't no such din. There is no din of muktza. Only Rab Yehuda holds like that. We don't paskan like Rab Yehuda. So that's what the Gemara says. Talk about a kli cheres, it's metunef. It's not a brand new cheres. It was used, and he doesn't plan to wash it out and reuse. He's going to leave it there. The Gemara says, chazi li'umna. But people, one who takes blood, he can hold it. In the days of the Gemara, they felt that the way to solve the problem of high blood pressure was to take out blood once a month or so. Every so often, take a little blood, so he won't have high blood pressure. They thought that that was healthy. The Pashtun says that it's not healthy, that there is no such thing. Now, Moshe Feinstein has, I thought, a very strange tshuva. He has a shayla, are you allowed to donate blood? It's an Issa Chavala. Are you allowed to donate blood? So in New York City, the more blood there is in the blood banks, the more people's lives will be saved. And there's a certain percentage of Jewish population here. So maybe my pint of blood won't go to a Jew, but the more blood there is, the more Jewish lives will be saved. But the shaila is, if they're buying blood, I have a distant relative, when he got engaged, he couldn't afford to buy his wife a ring, an engagement ring. So he donated blood 3 times. You have to wait a month or two between giving blood the first time, second time, third time. He donated blood. The blood went to India, to Pakistan, and they paid a lot of money for the blood. So you're donating blood, you know for sure it's not going to be used by Jewish people. So that's not muta, even though you're making money on it. That's like cutting off a finger. That's chavala. So that's Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva about that. Is it permissible to donate blood? So the pasha is permissible because the blood may, the more blood there is in the blood bank here in New York or in a Jewish neighborhood, so the more Jewish lives will be saved. So it is an Issa Chavala, but it's Muta Mishum Safik Pikuach Nefesh. Maybe he's saving someone's life. So Moshe has a tshuva. He says, since in the days of the Gemara, they used to think that letting blood is healthy, so even though we don't do it anymore, but since it's healthy, so there's no Issa. Well, why is there no Issa? We know today that it's not healthy. I don't understand. I don't know. Rav Moshe used to sometimes consult Rabbi Tendler, Zechon Levracha, on medical issues. Apparently he didn't consult him on this. He doesn't say that he consulted Rabbi Tendler, yeah.
If the reason it's mutter to donate blood is because it's something, if you go up nefesh, would you be able to donate on Shabbos, even if there's some whatever going on?
If it's needed on Shabbos, if you really need it. They usually don't need the blood right now. But if someone needs the blood now, if a Jewish person needs the blood now, you got to donate, you're allowed to do it on Shabbos also. Yeah. So the Gemara says when the doctors, the umnim, the doctor is going to let blood, so he has to have a container to hold the blood in. And for the Gemara, the klicheres has a hole in the bottom, so the blood is going to leak out. So he's not going to use it. He's not. And the klicheres is all filthy, the mitanef, and it has a hole in the bottom. See, even the bloodletter is not going to use it. So it's a piece of junk. Then it says, but according to Shmuel, he's not going to leave the Sefer Torah there. He's going to take it away and put it in Aron Kodesh. He's going to use it. It's an old tzeris in the Sefer Torah, and you can't fix it. There's too many mistakes. It's cheaper to write a brand new Sefer Torah than to correct every other word. But boy, Fregmov, her boy Ganesa, it's a mitzvah that you should bury. And the Gemara, Sham Tegan is awesome. The Gemara is saying a chiddush that the din, that Tashmisha Gedusha and the Gnozim, is not the same as a mace, that you have to be Kvura Bekarka And Rav Moshe says you need bitvachim on top and on bottom and on each side, all the four sides, northeast, southwest, and on top and on the bottom. That's why if you have two mason next to each other, you have to have a harchok of six tvachim. If you have two mason, one on top of the other, you need a harchok of six tvachim. Three tvachim that belongs to the bottom mason, three tvachim belongs to the top mason. Each mason needs three tvachim above around. But in Sefer Torah, there is no such thing. Some places they have, they take Sefer Torah that were defiled by the Nazis, and they have them on display, so they have them in a glass case to show the way they ruined the Sefer Torah. So some people have tainas that the Sefer Torah is torn kvura. You need kvura. So others say, well, the glass case is the kvura, because glass is made from karka. Glass is made from sin. And others say, what do you mean? Don't you see from the Gemara, the Shem taken is asa? Even if you leave it over there, you leave it in a covered way. You can't leave it in the garbage. But if you leave it in a box of Sheamus, it doesn't have to have it with a piffling more. You don't need, there's no din that you need kvura b'kar. Shom taken is awesome. That's what it sounds like. Okay. Let's see, there's a Tosfos here, Sha'olam Aleihem, the Tosfos on Amud Aleph. The Gemara Tosfos is commenting on this Mishnah. Asabim Shetolshan V'nichem V'chalon, or Sha'olam Aleihem V'chalonis. The ivy is growing on the side of the building, and it climbs into the window, and there's so much in the window, it's Tosfos V'chalon. So it says, that it's Memait in the Chalon. So Tosfos has a kasha, olam me'aleihem tema. How can it be that's choitzitz bifnei atuma? Hech me'matim the tefach al tefach hatran b'maseches aholos. The Mishnah says elon amivim v'lo choitzitzim. The following maybe it's atuma. If I'm over here, the mace is over there, and you have a roof, olam shachar, and choitzitz bifnei atuma. Choitzitz bifnei atuma means the mace is on one floor, and above the mace is a roof, and I'm on top of the roof. So the roof is choitzitz bifnei atuma. So the following things are neither maybe is atuma oilam shocha nor choitzitz if I'm upstairs, or the mace is upstairs and I'm downstairs. There's a din of tuma soil. The mace is on top of me, or I'm on top of the mace. Either I'm mile on the mace is mile on me. But if you have a floor mapsik in between, so that's choitzitz bifnei atum. So the Mishnah says, "Elon lo mevim v'lo choitzitzim." It doesn't count as a mechitza for tuma. As rain v'hayirokas hamechubarim lakarka. So if it's mechubar lakarka, it doesn't count at all. So how come over here it's choitzitz bifnei atum? So Tosfos answers. It's against, there's a stir in the Mishnah. It's Tiritz Rabbein Atam in the middle of the Tosfos. Tiritz Rabbein Atam, the Hosmar Linyan Oihil. That's it. There are two different kinds of chatzitza. One is the tumah should go up a dain. A mace is metame anything that's above it, and it's metame anything that's below it, unless you have an oil chatzitz above it. So then it won't be metame further. You have a royal choitzitz below it, so it's not metame below it. So it says that this kind of stuff doesn't count. The asavim olam aleihem doesn't count to be choitzitz bifnei atuma. But here we're talking about a tuma going from one room to the other. That's a different din. So when you get to that din, it can be choitzitz. We mentioned yesterday or 2 days ago that Rav Moshe Feinstein in his tshuva by Mesim on the airplanes quotes a Rasha Mishnayis who had a suggestion. This was a big machlokes of Rishani, whether it's correct or not, that the din of the Gemara, that dov hamakabel tumah in a choitzitz bifnei atumah, means it can be choitzitz when the tumah is going horizontally. But if the tumah is going vertically, let's say the Mesim are in the luggage section in the airplane that's below the feet of the passengers, and the Kohanim are in the luggage section. So there, maybe it is choitzitz bifnei atum. Maybe that's it, even if the plane is made from metal, and a kli matechas habobimidi, is makabotumah, kli eitz habobimidi, kli eitz etz machzeg memsoa, is not mekabel tumah, but klima teches, if it's gigantic, is also mekabel tumah. So the Rasha Mishnayis has a suggestion that even though it is mekabel tumah, it's a different ground level, so it's chaytzitz b'fnatum. So that's what Tosfos says here, in the opposite direction, that these things, the asavim ha'olim aleihem, are not mevim, are not chotzitzim. That's only benegeh to tumah above, tumah below. It's not chotzitzim. Why? So they say, Tirus Rabbeinu Tam Dehosam, that Mishnah that says lamevim lechotzim arilinyan ohel, above and below. They nasim ohel lochutz bifnei hatumah amesh tachteim amesh aleim. Avalahavi tumah. Avalahavi tumah mipnei. What did he say? Hoshaleim olahavi tumah mipnei. Yeah, mipnei sharuach minashvo ve'ena oimed b'makam echad havidum edov haparech she'ena lochotzu shelo meivi. Yeah, so the Tosfos and other Masechtos explains what they're talking about. Tosfos in the first Perek in Gittin, and the Tosfos in a few Masechtos has this. The Gemara talks about oil zaruk. Oil zaruk means, let's say, a kohen is in a car, and the car, the windows are closed, and the car is riding on a cemetery. Let's say there are parts of Europe where they built highways on top of Jewish cemeteries. They ignored the fact that there were Jewish mason there. Some places they were nice enough to notify the Chevy Kaddish and they took out all the mason. They took out the Vilna Goyen's body because the government, the Russian government, was nice enough to tell the Jewish people they're going to make a highway there. So they took all the mason and then they put it somewhere else. But other places they just made a highway on top of the cemetery. So let's say a coin is, anybody is going in a car on top of that highway. So is the floor of the car choytzes b'fnei hatumah? So the Gemara has, in different places, the Gemara has a din of oil zaruk. So Tosfos points out there are two kinds of oil zaruk. One oil zaruk, we got to say it quickly. Okay, one oil zaruk is if the thing is flying in the air. Let's say an airplane is flying in the air. Or if you have the laundry hanging on the line and the sheets are horizontal like this, the wind is blowing us like this. So that doesn't count as an oil at all. There's another oil zorg, an automobile, or the airplane is taxiing on the ground. When the airplane is in the air, that's one oil zorg. That doesn't count for anything. But when it's on the ground, on wheels, and it's moving, then it's maybe a satum ben a chaytzis b'fnei hatum. It's an oil lechumra and not lekula. So that's what Tosfos says over here. That mishnah that says that the zeroim that grow by themselves and it crawls into the window, it's not maybe a satum and a chaytzis. That's the oil zaruk that doesn't count for anything. And Agamar is talking about bringing tumah from one room to the other. So these are two different dinim. And over here it is chaytzis b'fnei hatum. Okay, enough of these Gemaras. Maybe tomorrow morning I'd like to give a shiur. Will anybody be here tomorrow morning? Let's say 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock. Okay, I'll give a brief shiur on Parsha for an hour. And then Sunday I'll be out of town. But Monday I'll plan to be back. I hope I'll be back. And I'd like to start from the bottom of Chof Amid Beis and to learn this Gemara. This is Nagel HaLacha, Chof Aleph Amid Aleph. Okay.